Before we get on to our heroes of the day, the three dads that I'm going to invite up and share a little bit of their stories, I'm going to talk about another hero called Jesus. And I know it's Father's Day, but as it says in the slide there, the Father's revealed by somebody, and the somebody happens to be Jesus. And I just want to take us through maybe 10 minutes worth of what that actually means. And I'm going to start with a scripture found in Matthew 11. It's one of my favorite scriptures, actually, if we can have that one. So at the time, Jesus prayed this prayer. So Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, "O Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise or clever, and for revealing them," there's that word, revealing them "to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then Jesus said, "Come to me." And I want to just keep that there for a minute. Come to me. Now, a lot of time Jesus, in the early days when he was getting his disciples, he would say, "Come, follow me." But here he says, "Come to me." There's a big distinction between "come, follow me" and "come to me." Jesus highlights the unique role of in revealing the Father in this scripture. He declares that all things are being committed to Jesus by the Father, and that no one really knows the Father except the Son and to those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And Jesus invites the weary, as we go on to look a bit more of Matthew. I don't have the scripture there, but Jesus invites, if you want to go and read it a little bit more, 29:30, Jesus invites the weary to come to him, emphasizing that learning from him is the way to understand God's heart and receive rest for the soul. And I just want to take a moment or two just to put a few points up before I invite my heroes of the day, the dads. So the Christian theology teaches that Jesus is the perfect and ultimate revelation of God. He is distinct from the Father, yet he fully embraces the Father's character and purpose. And through Jesus' teaching and his miracles, his sacrificial life, Jesus makes God's nature, will, and love actually tangible for us to understand. It's not invisible, it's tangible. And believers are called to look at Jesus to understand the Father's heart, his care, and the truth. To know God the Father, one must look to Jesus. His words, his actions, and his very presence reveal the Father's glory, the Father's love, and the Father's will. And Scripture consistently affirms that Jesus is the visible image of an invisible God, the one through whom humanity can truly understand and experience the Father. Now, why am I dwelling on this? So if the Father is not revealed through Jesus, I'll say it again, if the Father is not revealed through Jesus, we will be stuck. Stuck in our interpretation, we'll be stuck in our own experiences, we'll be stuck in our own conclusions of the Father's heart that is in God. The key difference is that Jesus reveals the Father as he truly is, whereas our experiences of being fathered by a natural dad is always a human, partial, and sometimes distorted experience of true fatherhood. Number one, Jesus revealed, I've got a few points here, Jesus reveals the Father himself. Now, in the Christian understanding, Jesus doesn't merely give us information about God the Father, he reveals the Father's character and heart. In John 14, verse 9, it says, "Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father." So when Jesus is compassionate towards the vulnerable, when he welcomes children, when he forgives sins, he serves others, or gives himself sacrificially, he is showing us what the Father is actually like. Jesus also says, "The Father and I are one in essence." but they are very distinct two people. The Father revealed by Jesus is therefore not an idolized version of human fatherhood. God is the source and definition of fatherhood. Human fatherhood is meant to actually reflect him. Number two, our natural fathers are not a measure of God, and not the measure of God. Our natural fathers can be loving, present, protective, wise, trustworthy, and they can give us a beautiful window of something and something of God's fatherly love. But even the wonderful father remains human. And I think of myself in this instance. You know, I can be limited in my understanding, emotionally unavailable at times, inconsistent. Definitely that's me. Imperfect in discipline. I've got that wrong a lot of times. But they're not just me, all fathers. Unable to meet every need. We just cannot simply do that. We are limited and human. Shaped by our own wounds and limitations, I also have a father wound that I need the father to rectify, and eventually absent through death. I experienced that myself. My father has not been with me for 21 years. He is not here, so he is absent because of that death. And I miss him. I still want to talk to him. I still have questions with my upbringing and my limited understanding. I want to know what he thinks. And if someone's father was neglectful, absent, controlling, distant, or even abusive, the distinction becomes especially more important. The wound created by a father is not revelation of what God the Father is actually like. So our experience can shape how we imagine God, but they don't define God's character. Number three, Jesus can actually correct our picture of fatherhood. This is one of the profound things about Jesus. We don't have to reason. My dad was like this, therefore God must be like this also. Rather, Christianity invites us, if I can have that slide up, rather Christianity invites us to move in the opposite direction. Jesus shows us what the Father is like, therefore I can begin to reinterpret my understanding of fatherhood through Jesus Christ. For example, if your father was difficult to please, we might instinctively imagine God as perpetually disappointed with us or disappointed with us, but that's not the case. Jesus repeatedly reveals a father who seeks, welcomes, forgives, gives, provides, and delights in his children. Most famously, that's the parable of the prodigal son, where the father, undignified, ran to the lost son. That's found in Luke 15, and I don't have time to do that this morning. I'll go after that this morning. The father's response to the returning son is not reluctant tolerance. He actually runs towards him. Number four, yet our experience of being fathered still actually matters. It would be too simplistic to say your earthly father doesn't matter. And I get why we would want to do that. But our early experience of being loved, protected, disciplined, seen, or rejected can profoundly shape the way we relate to God the Father. But they are experiences, not revelations. There's an important distinction. Next slide, please. Experience says, this is what fatherhood has felt like to me. Jesus says, this is what the Father is actually like. Big difference. And sometimes those two things beautifully overlap. Sometimes they do not. Number five, Jesus doesn't simply replace our earthly fathers. There's something beautiful here. Jesus doesn't teach us to despise human fatherhood. Instead, he replaces it with a larger reality. Paul says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derive its name. So there's a belonging or a family resemblance. In other words, human fatherhood derives its meaning from God's fatherhood, not the other way around. So it's good. So a good earthly father can genuinely mediate something of God's love, but he can never exhaust it. and a wounded earthly father cannot disprove it. Perhaps the deepest difference, your natural dad fathered you from his own humanity, which is true, where Jesus reveals the Father from within the eternal relationship of the Son with the Father. And these are distinctive and really important points. That's why Jesus' revelation is qualitatively different. He doesn't merely say God is like a really good dad. He brings us into the relationship he himself has with the Father and teaches us to actually say our Father. So the Christian journey, as I get ready to invite the boys up, the men up, the fathers up. So the Christian journey can involve allowing Jesus to distinguish the Father himself from our memories, our expectations, our disappointments, our expectations of fatherhood, and gradually allow the Father's revelation and character, revealed character in Christ, to become the deepest reference points of what Father actually means to us. Now, many of us have been shaped by our own experiences of earthly fathers, and for some it's gratitude, and for others it's disappointment or pain. The good news is that we can discover that the Father's heart through Jesus. We're invited not only to know God more deeply, God the Father that is, more deeply, but to be healed by our own experiences of being fathered, good, bad, and indifferent, and to grow into fathers who reflect his love. And I'm going to invite up Andrew, Kent, and Danny. Can we give them a round of applause as they come up? They're going to grab a seat. And you might be thinking, why is a bike on stage? Good point. Not only is there a bike on the screen there, but if you know me, you know that I love cycling. And as I was thinking about my own experience, I want you to put one, two, three, four, and just behind me. If you know me, I love cycling. It's my happy place. It's where I process. It's where I, exercise and feel very alive and in cycling. But as I thought about today and what it is to be a father, two of the greatest joys that I experience is, one, teaching my own kids how to drive a car. And I think there's something really fatherly in that. There's a little bit of risk, there's danger, there's a bit of frustration, there's, if you've ever done this, you'll know what I mean. It's a long journey, it's a long process. There's skills, there's teaching, there's learning, there's timing, there's belief. You can do this, don't worry, you nearly put us on the curb, but it's okay, we'll realign everything, we'll go again. There's incredible trust. All of these things and factors for me depict teaching my kids how to drive really well. Because there's, at the end of it, there's enjoyment, there's love, there's amazement that they are now safe on the road. And I know that when my two kids went, I trained them, and then when I went and got one lesson by a professional, they both said, your kids have got no problems passing the exam, and they both got 100%. And I took great delight in that. The same delight I have now with teaching them how to ride a bike, because there could be scun knees, frustration, training wheels have got to go. The bike to me, and not only did I teach my kids, but now I'm having the privilege of teaching my grandkids how to actually ride a bike. And there's danger, there's risk, there's all those things. And I think for me, it's a great example of what fathering is all about. And as I said, I don't have my father anymore. So today is a bittersweet day for me. I miss him dearly. But I'm so grateful that I not only am a dad, but I'm a granddad. And so that's hopefully a little bit why you understand there is a bike here. Three incredible men up here on stage. I'm going to get them to each, starting with this man here. I'm not going to deliberately say your name. Can you introduce yourself to us? Give us your name, your family kind of journey, and then how long you've been at Discover Church.
Yeah, so, is it on? Yeah, can't hear myself.
Just keep going. Oh,
Danny, 30. I've got two wonderful kids in the kids' church here, Ayla and Mateus. And yeah, I started here in January this year, so my journey's short, baptised a couple of months ago. So yeah, I mean, the journey's been fairly short for now, but just loving every part of it.
Fantastic. So a new dad, give him a round of applause. Danny, new dad, well, not, a newish dad, six and four, six but new, four. New to Christianity and yep. Certainly new to this church. Number two.
My name's Kent. I've got a lovely wife, Natasha, and a 11-year-old daughter named Riley, who has red hair, and we have no idea where that came from.
It's a bit hard to tell. You don't have a lot up there at the moment, but...
how's the glare? Good? So I've been coming to Discover for a couple of months now, but we really do feel like it's home here, and Riley's... Yeah, she's just transitioned and integrated really well. Into
Fantastic.
Kids
so two in Kids Church and loving the experience, yeah?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Yep. So cheer for those out the back, all those that are involved in Kids Church. We love it. And the old fella at the end, I nearly said, he's older than me.
Yeah.
He's older than me. So, I'm allowed to say that. He's my friend. Now, the Reverend, he's going to, I haven't said his name, he preached last week. Now, I told him explicitly he cannot preach, teach or anything. He's just going to share vulnerably today. Is that true?
That is correct.
So he is now a dad. He's just, what's your name?
Sorry, old person's moment. Andrew, I've been coming to the church since April 1987.
That's a long time, buddy. It's amazing.
Given Caleb's not here, there's nobody else that's been here longer than me.
Yeah, fantastic.
I am father to two boys. Eldest one is Brendan, who's not here today. He's got a small business up in Healesville, so he's got to be at work at lunchtime, so couldn't make it down here. And Philip. Give us away, Philip. Challenge there, you know, having a son with a disability. And we have Brendan and his beautiful wife, Kate, have two gorgeous granddaughters. So
fantastic.
So they are 3 and 1 and a bit.
Amazing. Mm. Round of applause for Andrew, Ken and Danny. And my journey, two kids and almost 7 grandkids. I've done pretty well, right? That's amazing. 2 kids, 7 grandkids. I'm winning already, right? So, but it's not about me today. Danny, tell us, what's your relationship with your own father, or how has your own relationship with your own father shaped your view of God?
So, look, my relationship with my father has probably got stronger in my adult life. The reason behind it was there was a divorce when we were quite young, so one of 5 boys, and we lived with mum. So, yeah, Dad tried hard to see us as often as possible, but it was just a difficult situation, I suppose. Mm. It was just shaky at the start. But like I said, in my adult life, we start to see each other a bit more and understand each other further before I left to come to Australia 10 years ago, obviously. He's not just around the corner anymore. But it was a challenging relationship on the basis of, it just brought up a lot of, I suppose, being a 7-year-old boy, it was just anger, frustration. I didn't understand what was happening. My dad didn't live with me anymore, and so I think it just shaped a bit of a difficult circumstance. But it become good, and look, he never tried to shy away from being a dad. He was always there when he could be. So that sort of made things quite hard. But he turned to faith after his divorce. So he always introduced and spoke about the Bible and what it could do for him and what it could do for me. And it's only this year where I've actually probably, maybe just before, where I've actually took his advice.
Fantastic.
So father knows best kind of thing.
Really good.
In the younger life, I had a best friend that I basically lived with, if you like, just because of the circumstance. Bully, he was a huge, huge influence in my life. And he was the kind of person that when I did get in trouble, which was lots, lots and lots actually, but when I did get in trouble, he provided that, hey, don't worry, I'll fix it for you. Which was good.
That's your mate's dad.
That was my mate's dad.
Yeah, so yep. There was a fatherly figure. He was kind of into, just stepped in at the right time and
absolutely
kept around the ears when you needed to and just protected you when you needed to as well.
And fantastic. I needed some of that.
Yeah.
So he was good. But there was my gags, my grandfather. And again, he is, when he passed away last year, I took his Bible with me, and that was the start of the exploring the faith again. And yeah, I suppose that made it sentimental, and it made a it's a tough time. He made it. He's the reason I'm in the faith, I suppose. Him and Dad's advice. So, but yeah, quite hard to talk about, unfortunately.
Can you hear the love of God just interjecting at right times and right moments in people's lives?
But yeah, so lastly, part of that, and Pete doesn't know I'm going to say this, but this year Pete's been very, very fatherly, as most people know here, and he's been a huge part of not just my life but the kids, Anna's my partner. So, yeah, the fatherly figure of Pete, too, which is awesome.
Did not know I was going to say that. Thank you. My joy. Absolute joy. So, as a new Christian, what qualities of the fathers become kind of most evident through Jesus, do you think? What qualities, do you see growing?
So, the first thing, which is something I never had growing up, was that absolute safe spot. Yeah. And I've speak about it. We were the one of not many, but I've been to the life group, and it came from Dirk. It was called the God Spot, and he doesn't know I'm going to say that either. But it was a huge thing to mention that, and it really related.
Yeah.
And that's what I call my God Spot is the safety of the Heavenly Father. So that's been a big part. I've been terrible with emotions my whole life. Never really understood them. Still don't, if I'm honest. Mm. And that's something that has probably this year been most explored.
Yeah.
It's allowed me to maybe just check in a bit with myself and what it actually means. And as I got baptized, I feel like it only ever got stronger. So that was huge. And then the last one, just presence, I suppose, is just I feel him quite often. I have a few visions and things like that, which is the reason I got baptized. But there's a couple of visions, dreams that have always just sort of appeared, and they stick around, and that's sort of been the presence of the Father.
Yeah, fantastic, really good. Well, last question. What kind of father do you hope your children remember?
The same as what I've been given through the Heavenly Father, and just a safety net, a safety spot. I want them to understand that I'll always be there.
Hmm.
And providing as best as I can, and not just, it's not just a financial thing, right? It's just whether they need a cuddle, whenever they fall up, they fall over, and I pick them up, just making sure I can be there as often as possible. That's what I want them to know. But a huge part of being here was my kids, right? Yeah. Coming to the church and the kids' church with, I know Amy's the leader, but everybody else who's involved in the kids' church there that helps
significant
provide
right.
It is massive, yeah. And just being able to teach my kids things that I still can't teach them.
Yeah, fantastic.
As much as that isn't, a father itself, but the Heavenly Father provides the kids' church,
the family,
right?
Yeah.
And that's the family, the community, and that's a fatherly figure for them, right?
Yeah. Perfect. Great. Round of applause. Really well done. Really well said. I move on to Kent. Kent, a couple of questions. How was your relationship with your own father shaped your view of God?
So I guess there's kind of two aspects with that. With it. First one being, kind of at a younger age. So my dad works for himself, and he did, and obviously as a result of that, being self-employed myself, I understand that now. Back then it was, an interesting, you make the analogy about riding the bike, because I basically taught myself to learn to ride a bike on a bike with two flat tires. Mm. And it wasn't that he wasn't there, but it was just, there was some crucial moments that I kind of had to pick up and do myself, and that probably reflected into how I saw God, that he's there, but there are some things that I'm just going to have to take on, and I'm going to have to work this out myself.
Right. Yep.
And then later on, working with him, I'm a perfectionist, so, it almost felt performance-based on how he saw me.
Yep.
So it was, you muck up or you do something wrong, it's like, oh, I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah.
And even in my perfectionism, you're taking too long. Mm. So it's almost like, you know, I have this view of even when I do my best, it's not quite good enough.
Yeah, right.
And obviously then that reflects to God. And
yeah,
it feels like it's, you know, if you're doing all right, then he's happy with you. But, you know, if not, then not so much. So that's been a challenge to kind of work through both of those issues where it's, you know, that I see God as being there, but also wanting to help and wanting to carry me through things and, and partnering with. So to try and say, you know, in my business, bring God in as a partner with that and, you know, and lean into that and, you know, try and hear from the Holy Spirit and just walk through that. And then as far as the performance side of things, really just seeing that God, you know, seeing the grace of it and seeing that that I was chosen and loved before I even was even born. Nice. So just knowing that, you know, then it's like, it's not about what I do, it's about who I am.
Yeah. Fantastic. I was going to ask you, you know, what did you have to unlearn as a dad? I don't know if you've probably answered those things. Anything else to add in terms of unlearning, you know, as Jesus reveals, okay, that's my experience, you know, but there's a difference, you know, how I can approach him. He's not disappointed. He does love me. So what's one or two things that you might have unlearned, you know, on your journey?
So for myself as a father?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I think, yeah, the biggest thing for me to unlearn was, you know, when we were going to have Riley, my biggest focus and fear was provision, thinking, how am I going to provide for her, you know, materials and, you know, her needs. It's, you know, food, shelter, clothing, water. But then I suppose it's, as things progressed, it's, yes, those things are important, but it's all the little things that she really needs from me. It's protection, it's encouragement, it's,
love it,
you know, being there and showing up as the head of the household, so that, you know, that mantle, and it's not an easy one, and leading her to the Father.
Yeah, fantastic.
You know, so
I love it. That's great. You've taken, you know, your experience and then turned that around and then, you know, being there for your daughter. I had the privilege of asking her, you know, how does she find Discover Church and particularly out the back in Kids Church, and she said profound things for an 11-year-old. She's 11. You know, I feel heard and I feel seen. That's remarkable, don't you think? And I think that's, you know, well done for being a great dad, to see her, to know her, to you know, for her to be, you know, heard and seen is massive. What kind of father do you hope your child remembers that helps reveal the Father to her?
Yep. So I've got a couple of points. And I know you said to do two, but I'll do three if I can sneak them in. So I guess girl dads, you'll know why I brought this. So number one is fun. So laughter, and, you know, it was spoken about the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we muck around a lot. We have a laugh.
Love it.
You know. And I think God, you know, that's in the nature of God, that he wants to share in our joy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And he delights in being part of the little things, not just, you know, the big grand gestures, and but it's the day-to-day stuff. It's the little things. You know, a lot of the times we talk about, like, she's been overseas twice. She's been to Disneyland for her birthday. She's seen all these things. But then sometimes she'll say, you know, I just like hanging out. Mm. You know, it's just the little things.
Nice.
So that's definitely one of them.
Love it. One more.
I can probably mash the two into one.
Go.
So I want her to know that she's loved.
Mm.
We say I love you a lot in our house, multiple times a day. And it's not enough for her to know that I want to express it
daily.
Love it. And part of that is the physical affection as well, because I want her to know that we can have a cuddle, and she's always, you know, oh, Dad, I want to cuddle, I want to cuddle, I want to cuddle. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, just made me think of, you know, it's the God as a father wants to draw her close. And in Psalms, it says he'll cover you with his feathers and under his wings you'll find refuge. So every time she comes in for a cuddle, I just think, you know, that's what God wants to do her and for me.
Love it.
Yeah.
It's good. I see the emotions there. It's beautiful. Give him a round of applause. That's I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Well done. Really appreciate it. Andrew, I remember years and years and years and years ago, 30 years maybe, I got talking to Andrew, and we had this profound conversation around Philip, who, you know, has a disability. And I remember, because it wasn't in my thinking, and I asked, you know, we're talking about, you know, life and eventuals and whatever, and you said, I'll never know what it's like to, you know, live alone just with Sue and have Sue on my own. We'll always have Philip. And that really struck me. And I was saddened but happy that Philip has a great, you know, mum and dad to always have around them. But, like, it just wasn't in my thinking. And it really got me amazed at what kind of journey, you know, and Philip was young at the time, what kind of journey this would be. But it deeply impacted me, Cav, you know, with you just resolved this is the way it's always going to be. But,
yeah.
Can you go and share a little bit, you know, when you read the Gospels or through Jesus, share what happened, you know, with your, in terms of Philip and how that's affected you as a dad.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Pete. Yeah, I'm glad you remember the conversation because but that's always the way. We have never viewed Philip as a kid with a disability. He's just a kid with different abilities. And God has made lots of very pointed lessons to me with Philip as the counterpoint. I'm very cerebral. I think a lot. Philip is quite spiritual and always has been very, very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I won't use the language that God used because you've got to be really blunt with me to get the message through. But basically he said, look at Philip, now tell me the one who's developmentally delayed. And I looked and was like, yeah, that'd be me when it comes to discerning the Holy Spirit, to picking up what God's doing. I encourage anybody who's got kids, any parents that have got kids who are challenging in any way, to go, God will use them. God will shine through them. And if I look at the Gospels, look at how Jesus responded to his disciples, it was always with incredible patience. I think the only time that wore thin, there's a verse, and I know I've been told not to teach.
Yes.
Where Jesus goes to his disciples, are you still so dull? And I'm going to paraphrase that into modern language. Are you really that thick? But Jesus was just patient with them. He let them develop at their pace. Put the challenges in when needed. And to me, that's the lesson that we've learnt with having a son like Philip. It's like we couldn't compare Philip and Brendan, our eldest son. Brendan was always ahead of the curve. Sue was always terrified about getting caught in an argument with Brendan because he would split a hair and then he would split that split hair and then he would split it again. And you'd simply be going, I can't say no to him. He's argued himself into a position where I can't get round that. And you get kids like that, and then you get other kids. No, Philip was just, he'd simply, if he didn't want to do something, he didn't do it. He was very simple, very straightforward. And he'd just sit, and you'd try and pick him up, and he would just go all floppy, and he'd be like trying to pick up water. Mm-hmm. He would.
So in terms of Philip, you know, one of the big things I'm hearing you say is you know, what you've learned from God, what God's had to do in you is just that patience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
as just God is patient with you, be also with Philip. You mentioned Brendan. So what parts of his life, most of us don't know Brendan, I do, but most of us don't. What parts of Brendan's life or growing up affected you as a dad, particularly in your later years, your current ones now?
Brendan's an amazing young man. Has a successful business up in Healesville now and doing really well, but it hasn't been a nice, simple cheer all the way along with his journey. He's wife and the mother of our two grandchildren is his second wife. It was a messy fall apart of the marriage. He moved to Sydney for 12 months because it was like, I just can't be around anywhere that is going to help me, that is going to remind me of things that were. He went overseas for 5 months, I think it was, after the divorce was finalised, and just cleared his head. Toured Europe, went over to drove himself from one side of America to the other.
How was that for you as a dad, though?
Well, it was like I just wanted to, give him a cuddle. Put my arm around him and say, hey, mate, I mean, if you need help. But one of the things you do as a parent is teach your kids to be independent. And then when they are independent, it's like, oh, bugger.
Great point.
It's like, he did. He surrounded himself with some really good people.
Yeah.
He got lots of really good advice. And
how was your prayer life in that time?
Oh, it became a prayer life.
Yeah.
And it was just really, really challenging to just go, trust God. And so what I learned through that process was just learning to trust God that he not only looks after Sue and I and Philip, who are around and in constant contact, but Brendan while he was away and living up in Sydney, and I got to catch up with him a couple of times while he was in Sydney because I was up there for work, and it was like cool, but it was like you couldn't do all the things as a dad you wanted to do.
It's hard, isn't it? It is really hard.
So
I'd say that because I woke up this morning and I just had the realization that one of the greatest things I can do as a dad now is present or offer my kids and my grandkids to God in prayer. It's just such a joy to me, because I'm not there. They've got their own families and they've moved on and they're close. But one thing I can always do is just, it's a joy for me. In closing, and I'm going to get these men, I'm asking them to pray for us, if that's all right, as we share. Thank you for being a little bit longer than expected. Kev, just in closing, if Jesus perfectly revealed the Father, what is one particular step we can take, you can take this week or we could take this week to reflect the same heart more clearly to our families and those God has entrusted in our care?
I think for me, and just following on from what I just said, is just allow your kids to move through life at the pace that they are moving through life rather than pushing them to be somewhere that they're maybe not quite ready for yet.
Fantastic. I think I love it. The pace of God is the pace of love and the pace of a relationship, which is probably about 5 kilometres an hour, which is the pace that we walk at.
It's a lot slower than what I am comfortable with.
Yes, exactly. Patience.